This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball's Football Daily.
And welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Liverpool equalised late on against Newcastle in their Premier League opener at St James's Park. Tonight, Fulham and Chelsea get their campaigns underway with a West London derby. And have Manchester City found their Rodri replacement, with the club set to announce the signing of Moroccan wonder kid Ayew Buadi. But first, Newcastle and Liverpool drew 2-2 at St James's Park yesterday afternoon in the second of our live Premier League commentary games. Anthony Elanga gave Newcastle the lead before Cody Gakpo equalised for the away side. Joe Willock gave Matthias Jäkel's side the lead again, but then Dominic Szoboszlai scored from the penalty spot in the 99th minute. Alexander Isak was on the receiving end of a cool reception from the home fans. It was his first time back at his old club, and he didn't take the crucial last minute penalty after Victor Munoz was fouled by Lewis Hall. Liverpool boss Andoni Iraola feels they're blessed with options.
He has tried everything, good positions on the ball, probably has had a couple of situations to finish inside the box, but probably not the clearest he wanted or we wanted, but I value that.
Newcastle boss Matthias Jäkel felt the penalty awarded against his side was contentious.
For me, it's a really soft penalty, as you call it here, I guess. So if you give these penalties, then you need to give a lot throughout the match and a lot throughout the season, and I don't know if this is for good or football.
Aston Villa manager Unai Emery says he only wants to speak about committed players after their 4-0 loss away to Brighton. Ollie Watkins missed the trip to the Amex amid reports of a potential move to Saudi Arabia and Al Hilal. Emery was asked about the England international's future by Sky Sports.
This question is for him. So can you call him and make a question to him?
So that confirms it was not your decision, it was his decision.
Ask him.
Is it disappointing the way it's ending?
I only can answer it by silence.
Meanwhile, Brighton boss Fabian Hertzler says he won't get carried away after the win over 10-man Villa. The first goal was a Victor Lindelof own goal, then Maxim de Kuyper made it 2-0, and Jack Hinshelwood scored two goals to make it a miserable afternoon on the south coast for Villa, who also saw debutant Joe Gomez sent off in the first half.
We had a lot of things that went our way. Overall, we set the standards high regarding intensity today. Overall, it was, in the end, a very mature performance also after the red card. So that was quite positive. And in the end, it's a win with a clean sheet, and that's the most important.
Manchester City manager Enzo Maresca says his midfield experiment with Mark Gahey paid off in their 2-1 win at home to Bournemouth. The England centre-back played higher up the pitch in a surprise tactical decision from the new City boss. Gahey scored an equaliser from a corner 6 minutes from time, and then Josko Guardiol got an injury time winner. Maresca says playing Gahey there is a good option to have.
It's a solution. I don't know if it can be for the next game again, but it's a solution. Now we need different solutions. So when you visualise and then is good, in the future when you need, you know that if he's going to play there, it's going to be good.
Speaking of midfield and options, City have agreed a deal with Lille worth €95 million plus €5 million in potential add-ons for Ayew Buadi. The Morocco midfielder is expected in England later on to finalise the deal, which will take City's summer spending to almost £200 million after Elliot Anderson's £116 million move earlier in the window. Buadi, who operates mainly as a number six, started 5 of Morocco's 6 games at the World Cup this summer, including the 2-0 quarter-final loss to France. Meanwhile, Newcastle are in advanced talks with City over a move for midfielder Nico Gonzalez. The 24-year-old, who arrived at the Etihad from Porto last year, is valued at around £50 million. He was an unused sub in City's win against Bournemouth yesterday. Keith Tracy joined myself in commentary for the game at the Etihad yesterday and spoke about how Ryan Cherki's introduction in the second half turned the game around.
City had the better chances. Haaland's header that he made a hash of in the first half. Mark Gahey had a header he should have scored. I think you called it a sitter in commentary. I agree with you, it was a sitter. But balls into the box look to be their main weapon. But for one reason or another, they don't look to want to score from them type of opportunities. And it wasn't until Cherki came on and opened up the defence that you're thinking, oh, OK, they can hurt Bournemouth through the middle. Look, I'm not sure with Maresca moving forward. I think there's still a big question mark. First game of the season, 3 points, big tick, but am I confident moving forward with Manchester City? I still wait and see.
Well, what's the expectation for him? Is it just surely he's starting to build a new team, which had already started the rebuild, but he has to now help the rebuild. So, do the City higher up guys think that you have to win the league this season?
I'd like to know. I'd like to know that. I think outwardly that will be the message for everybody. There might be a reality to that where Enzo Maresca talks about Rodri and Bernardo Silva and, you know, everybody else leaving the building and Pep and the legacy he's left behind. It's going to be extremely difficult. And given how strong Arsenal are, you know, I think if you're Manchester City, the message is we're going to win the league. We want to be competitive within the Champions League. Do they really think they're going to win the league this season? I'm not so sure, but given the amount of money that they've spent, and we're talking that Boadi is going to come in for over 100 million, Elliot Anderson coming in for over 100 million as well. When you spend money, expectation comes with that, and 200 million in the middle of the park, they've got to be very, very good. So I think with the money that it looks like Manchester City are going to spend all in all, they've got to go and win the Premier League. Do I expect them to? No.
And if you want to listen to the final whistle back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football feed for free. Fulham boss Alvaro Arbeloa says he's changed a lot since he last lived in London. It's been 10 years since he finished his playing career with West Ham. Arbeloa is now preparing to take on London rivals Chelsea in his first match as a Premier League manager. The Spaniard understands the magnitude of the fixture.
I know how important is that that game for our supporters. It's also very important for everyone at the club. So we are ready, we are excited, and of course we can't wait for the game.
Arbeloa goes up against his former Liverpool and Real Madrid teammate Xabi Alonso, who takes charge of Chelsea for the first time in the league tonight. And he says he's been encouraged by the togetherness of his team ahead of their opener. It's the first competitive match for Alonso since his arrival at Stamford Bridge, and he's feeling confident about what they can achieve.
We are all together in this new start of the season, but the main thing for me is the targets and the goals that we share all together, and we have the ambition to have a great year.
That game at Craven Cottage starts at 8 o'clock. UEFA president Alexander Čeferin says his credibility would suffer if he was in charge of FIFA. He's confirmed he won't run against Gianni Infantino for the presidency of football's world governing body. Infantino is under pressure to step down after his failed plan to sell stakes in the World Cup, but he's showing no signs of giving up as he plans for the future.
We want to grow football in every one of our 211 countries. Some, unfortunately, don't need and they don't want that others grow. But we need to narrow this gap between the big, big countries and all the others.
The football Diego Maradona scored his famous Hand of God goal with at the 1986 World Cup has sold at auction for €2.9 million. The Argentine flicked the ball past England goalkeeper Peter Shilton with his hand in their 2-1 quarterfinal win in Mexico. The match referee kept the ball for 3 decades. He sold it in 2022 for just under €2 million. Troy Parrott could make his debut for Real Betis in La Liga tomorrow night when they take on Valencia away from home. And on yesterday's Sunday paper review, Shane Hannon was joined by Kieran Shannon and David Snaid. And Snaid explained that Parrott eventually sees his future in the Premier League.
Were you surprised that no Prem club came in from that West Ham were considered to be the main English club in?
Last Friday, the expectation was he was signing for West Ham. The only issue why that didn't happen is because West Ham didn't want to pay more than $15.5 million up front. AZ wanted closer to 18, I think it was. Because of that hesitation, that's why Betis came in last Monday. So like they obviously were interested, but like a lot of these moves, things move quickly once a club shows their hand. Betis came in, gave AZ what they wanted on Monday. The deal was pretty much done. Like Pellegrini is in charge.
It's a great move.
You know, it's like it really is, and it's a great opportunity for him. You know, it's exciting. People and I included myself in this properly until I was looking at it, because obviously Betis is one of those clubs, of course, you know about if you're in football. I remember Danielson going there? It was a huge sign, but like they're a massive club. I was even from chatting to people who've covered Spanish football, like the Betis Sevilla derby, that's viewed as the biggest derby, single city derby in Spain. Like Barca Real, it's not a single city derby, that's the biggest game, of course. But it's like a massive game. Like the average 57,000 fans in a stadium last year, that's not even their own stadium. So if you were looking at this from Troy Parrott's perspective, and I know this was something that would have been laid out to him when you're kind of going through the pros and cons of a move, if you do the business, you cannot lose here. Mm. You're either going to be at a club that is going to kick on and remain in the Champions League and is going to be at the top of that second tier below Madrid and Barca in La Liga, or you're going to do so well, and this is something that would have been relayed to him by Betis and what they believe, that those Premier League clubs at a higher level, or even clubs in Spain or in Europe, wherever, will come and be looking at you.
And if you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Daily podcast feed. Meanwhile, former Ireland boss Brian Kerr joined Stephen Doyle on the final whistle after they were on commentary for the Newcastle and Liverpool clash. And Kerr said it won't be easy for Troy Parrott to break into that Betis starting 11.
They've already got a fairly good centre-forward, I think, in
Cucho.
Hernandez,
the Colombian Cucho Hernandez, yeah. So, I spoke to a Betis fan who said he is going to have serious competition to get into the team with Cucho Hernandez there.
So that's the thing, you know. The thing also about him is, and for centre-forward, to get a rhythm in your game, you need to be playing on a regular basis. If you're only getting on for 15 or 20 minutes when the regular bloke is getting a bit tired in the match, it's not conducive to your game, to develop your game. Now, maybe there'll be a lot more opportunities for Troy because of, you mentioned, they'll be in the Champions League in the group stages, which they're guaranteed 8 matches in the group stages up until January, along with La Liga and the Copa del Rey. There will be opportunities for him. He's still a bit to do. His game hasn't fully developed yet. I think in the Netherlands, he played the game as he wanted to play. And we've seen him playing for Ireland, playing off, not necessarily as the main man all the time, as the main front man. He can play off the front, which is a real advantage, because he's not now pacey player, quick in behind, I want it over the top. So I think he needs to have that adaptability in his game to ensure that he has a chance of getting regular football at that level. But it's a great opportunity for him. It's a real challenge for him. It should be very interesting for us to watch, because, you know, the Liga games are on TV every week. We get the opportunity of seeing him playing when he is playing. And certainly we'll have a lot more interest in Real Betis than we'll ever had since Patrick O'Connell was involved when they won the league in the 20s, 1935, when none of us were around. But, you know, Irish people in general, Real Betis wouldn't be a team that we were following very closely. All of a sudden, we will be now. And I wish Troy the best of luck with it. It's a big move. It's an exciting move. It would have been a cosier move to go to the likes of West Ham. This is a challenging one and a brave one for him to take on, and I hope it goes very well for him.
That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.